Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. 713-780-3776. The number if you'd like to get in here. As we said, we're going to open it up. We got one guy racked already, right? Charles was racked, so he's here for eternity. You racked him, right?
Yeah, it was an impressive call, and he didn't need the help of the two clowns on the radio to get him through it. He had his points, and he got it out. Impressive.
A couple of points I want to... James Harden is considered one of the best post defenders in basketball. In terms of the shoot, the people scored in a 30% range on him when they are in the post. Now, on the perimeter, it's obviously way different. So what he said is actually extremely accurate. Here's something else that I've learned through doing the NFL draft stuff. There are two very, very different types of quicknesses. You can be an explosive, like Carl Lawson, I'm going to start using guys that are too, not enough people are going to recognize. All right, let me say it like this. There are going to be guys who can run fast in a straight line. And James, actually, they show when he really airs it out, he actually is pretty fast from baseline to baseline because he takes long strides and he can accelerate. But there's a big difference, and a lot of it has to do with hip flexibility. There's a big difference between explosiveness from a vertical leaping standpoint, which James has, straight line speed, and then lateral agility. There are plenty of guys who can run fast in a straight line, but if you ask them to go sideways, like in some of the drills, like you can't not be agile if you're a cornerback. Pass rushers can be a little bit straight line, but there are plenty of people who can run fast who cannot slide fast side to side. They just can't open up their hips. They can't make the movements that you need defensively to drop your hips, open your hips, and slide with the man. Now, you want them to go forward, they can go forward really fast. But sideways and maybe backwards, they don't operate as quickly. I think James is a little bit lazy. I don't know that he's not doesn't have agility. I think he actually does have some of that.
That's what he gets today after game two.
Well,
that's what
Charles he gets. Called in to defend him, and I agree.
I'm just trying to be real. I think James doesn't try as hard. I think he can try harder, but there is something to the argument, Dell, about agility and lateral slides.
I agree with that. Steph gets killed by opposing players because I just think there are some limitations. But he doesn't have the reputation of not trying.
But he's not tough.
He's not big.
He's not strong.
So he can get bodied. James, I actually agree with Charles. I don't think he is a great athlete on NBA standards, but the effort or the lack thereof in past years is the reason people crush him. If he was just a bad or below average defender, but you could see the effort, he wouldn't get his crush as much.
No. Right. Reason he didn't make the first, second, or third team a couple of years ago is because of the effort.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, that's the unforgivable sin.
Yeah, that is. All right.
But I got to ask one quick question, though, here. Who is this?
Damon.
All right. Well, see, maybe Damon can. I'm going to ask it first, and Damon can answer it if he wants to, if he's African American. This is a tube. John, you're out of this. You're not in this. Don't point to your Italian, your Mediterranean outplaying golf skin tone. It has nothing to do with what I'm about to
say. Stop rubbing yourself.
I had a friend of mine was black who said, he goes, this is what no one will say publicly. He said, James takes more heat because he's dark skinned and Steph is light skinned. And he said, those two guys, neither of them play defense. Both of them are great on offense. One guy is the happy-go-lucky, bring his kid up to the podium, and James is the guy with the strippers. He said, this goes deeper. He said, James gets heat because he's dark-skinned versus light-skinned. I'm like, Is that really what's at play here?
You know what? I'm actually willing to answer this question because I find it funny. There are two factions. Black people might have a bigger issue with Steph Curry because he's light skinned.
Yeah.
Yes. Some black people. I go on message board sometimes, and there's an acronym. It's called HYB, and I'm not going to spell it out because I don't need that heat. I'll give it to you during the break for the Klay Thompsons and the Steph Currys of the world. And they're actually disliked because of their light skin by black people who watch the game of basketball.
Okay, so Spike Lee's School Days, they got the whole, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean. So,
good and bad hair. And so I know that there's a cultural thing.
I can't speak to why non-black people might not like James Harden because I don't live in that world. But I do know. For whatever reason, the complexion of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, for some people,
gets hated on a little bit.
Gets hated on, yeah.
Well, you understand it comes from who's your father? That's a whole cult. That's a whole different much. That's way down the rabbit hole.
I can't speak to why James. I think it's more effort than anything. I mean, I think if James put in effort and was a bad defender, people are like, okay, he's just not.
Well, James a little edgy too. He's not Mr. Fan favorite.
Isn't that because of Becky though?
What do you mean, Becky?
Well, that the African American male is heading towards white women.
I don't know if all of them are.
See,
the light skinned.
And it's not even a very serious conversation. I just know guys are like, man, get these light skinned dudes out of my face with their
on Twitter. This is what I didn't really recognize. Like I said, I knew it from Spike's. You know, School Days. I knew there was that whole thing. And actually, Chris. Rock had a documentary about hair culture and black hair and wigs and weaves. I learned actually a lot on that one. But I remember that I saw on Twitter when I first recognized that there was something called Black Twitter, which is way different. There was like team light skin, you know, team dark skin takes the loss. Team light skin gets the L. And I realized, oh, this whole subculture is still going. Oh, it's still going strong now.
Okay, let's look at it from a white perspective, though. Does James not get that Steph gets the pass and James doesn't because of his skin?
Well, let me ask you.
That's what was, I think, being alluded to.
That's what alluded to. And maybe subconsciously, I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know.
That's been a historical thing. I mean, we're getting very deep outside of basketball that there have been preferential treatment, I guess, for light skinned guys. I don't know.
I just feel like it's James.
I just feel like James. People think James is lazy.
Yeah. Yep. And I don't think I don't believe that's the perception of Steph.
Yeah, I think he's a bad defender. Like I said, I think it's physical limitations.
But he's also Mr. Fun, smiling.
Well, Jalen brought up a good point this morning, though. Jalen Rose brought up, he said, the other guys on the floor are really good defenders. And Steph may not be a poor defender. He's just the worst of the five.
And they attack him all the time.
And so they attack him every single time.
He can't hide because they're not seeking him out.
And by the way, and you know why? Because
he's smaller in stature than a lot of the guys that he's defended.
Yeah.
But iso ball allows you to isolate the weak defender and go after him. That's one of the reasons the teams run it.
If you're an opposing team and you're going after the Warriors.
Switch.
Who you want to go after? Draymond? KD, who's actually pretty damn good?
He's long.
Thompson, who's been on all NBA defensive teams?
Right.
Or Iguodala? Who are you going to go after?
Who are you going after?
You're going after Steph every time
there's
down
one
the floor.
Guy. And it's the same reason people try to get switched up on James.
Dr. Dre, James plays defense like he's light-skinned. Like he's white.
Oh.
DeMond is here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, DeMond?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's up, DeMond? How are you?
Good. So I am African American, and I don't think James and Curry, obviously, that has anything to do with light skin, dark skin. I've been playing that game my whole life, but I think James is lazy. I mean, I'm a Houston Rockets fan. I'm just going to call it what it is. I think he's lazy on D, and I think Steph actually tries. So people say, "Oh, well, he's trying." So I think that's what that comes back to. But as far as the game last night, you guys were speaking about outliers, or you know, in game one, maybe there were some outliers that will change in game two in the favor of the Rockets, or whatever the case may be. And I kind of wanted to comment on that because, you know, I kind of going to play devil's advocate here, I guess. Some of the outliers that I noticed in game two are, you know, P.J. Tucker, 8-for-9, 22 points. Do we really expect that in game three?
No. 7-for-9 for Ariza. I mean.
You had 7-for-9 for Ariza. And do we expect Klay Thompson not to score in double digits?
No.
And so I say all that to say that I think game one and two had a bunch of outliers. I think the series is much closer than these scores have been. Mm-hmm. So I expect game three to be more of a, you know, a single digit, you know, down to the wire, because I think everybody's going to kind of regress back to their mean. And I kind of wanted to hear you guys comment.
Yeah. Well, hold on a second, DeMar. What do you see as the norms? Because that's what I'm trying to figure out what the norms are. The norms, we know the KD is going to get in the 30s. I think James. What? I think the days of James having these ridiculously terrible games probably over.
Hopefully,
James is going to get high 20s into the mid 30s. Probably. What are the other norms to look for?
You know, based on my observation of all season, I think PJ Tucker, you can expect 8 to 12 points. Ariza 10 to 15. Mm-hmm. Eric Gordon 15 to 20. You're not going to get. I don't think you're going to get 27 from EG again. You know, I think Chris Paul has to kind of step it up a little bit, become more of that scorer, that second, you know, dominant scorer. And then Steph Curry's not going to shoot 1 for 8 from three again. I mean, you know, that's just, I don't think we expect that ever to happen again. So, I mean, and when I'm looking at the averages, I think those are it. You know, I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on that.
I think you got to go deep with it. Thanks for the call. Good stuff. I think you got to go deep with it, John. You got to say, okay, let's get to the crux of why the Rockets won. They penetrated and they converted and they executed well. What can Golden – will Houston go back to it? And I know in a vacuum we say, of course they will. Just work for them. It's not that simple. Sometimes Golden State will maybe play them a little differently, maybe funnel them differently to where a player will jump them sooner. Like they may start to rotate off of Ariza. What I would do is rotate off of Ariza and – obviously, P.J. Tucker, and say, look, if you're red hot, then you're going to be red hot. But if not, here's what we're not going to let happen. We're not going to let James and Chris Paul get that deep in the paint anymore. We're just not going to do it. And now we're going to try to squeeze the ball out of their hands earlier. When they start the penetration, we're going to jump it, double it, force it out of their hands, and then we'll get it in P.J. Tucker's or Ariza's hands. That's what I would do if I were a coach. If Ariza or Tucker wants to win, I mean, okay. Beat us, Ariza and Tucker. You did last game, but do you really think that Ariza and Tucker are going to win the series, John? That's not how you're going to win the series. You need them to play well.
I disagree. I think, yeah. I think that if those guys don't play well, I mean, I don't know why that we think that we can't do it by yourself. James can't do it by himself.
Chris Paul not that they can't play
they've
well.
They've got to contribute. I the way that they played
more.
Last night is the way that they
but
have to
continue. But those shooting performances...
No, they won't happen that way, but you're not going to – listen, okay, so they don't shoot like that. Then you know what it is? It's a close game. And you know what's going to happen in this series? There are going to be some close games. And you're going to have to come up with a play at the end. But those guys won't shoot like that. And if they don't, then it maybe is a 1 or 2 point or 3 point game as opposed to a 22-point game. But you know what? The Rockets have to keep on playing like that. Have to. All right, 713-780-3776. John Clay Wolf joining us right now to talk about GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. It's a hot time to sell your car, and John Clay Wolf is the guy to buy it. Am I right?
You are right. How are y'all this morning?
Doing great, good. Man. It's a great day in Houston.
You know, we're really doing having a lot of luck. We've got two big competitors in the space down in Houston. It's obviously CarMax and Texas Direct. And we're really getting our confidence that we can beat both of them consistently every time, and that's fun.
Well, that is awesome. And you know what? Those are two big names, but it's GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's guaranteeing. If they can't beat CarMax, they're going to send you $100. How about that?
It is. I mean, it's kind of like how Spicoli looked at his competitors. In Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah, well, it's a little like that, only without the weed, I think, I hope.
Well, you know, he just had a real blanket look about it. He's like, oh, those guys are fags, remember that?
Yeah.
And it's just, when you're better than your competitors, it's just you're just better than them. It's kind of like the Rockets. I mean, they're just better than everybody else.
I didn't know it was going to be like Spicoli, if you want to know the truth. Bad. And then there's the GOAT reference as well. All of that stuff. It's just, that's just something we didn't expect this morning, John Clay Wolf.
Is it just too much for you sometimes?
Well, it's okay for me, but I don't know if it's okay for the FCC. GiveMeTheVIN.com. The moral of the story is this. If you're going to sell your car, Get the best price. And, oh, by the way, John Clay Wolf will work through your dealership or whoever is selling you the car. That's easy. That's done. GiveMeTheVIN.com. Get the best price for your car right now at GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. I know you got country music in Katy. If you can hear me, use the app. Everybody, use the app out in Katy.
Or go to ESPN975.com for the live stream.
Come on, Clint. It's embarrassing. How many times do we have to tell you the same thing?
Is this the Clint?
Yes.
With the shaved head?
Clint Shane. Yes.
He's got a smartphone, right?
Yeah.
Use the
app. When you're busy tweeting all the time with your brand new Bitmojis that are suspect, frankly.
He's got his own emojis of his own
face. The Bitmojis, yeah. Yeah. That's him. And he wears his little tank top, and I'm like, what are you doing? We're wearing a tank top.
Wife beater?
I don't know what it is. It's just, it's problematic.
Disgusting.
It's problematic.
To Clint, you're disgusting.
So,
did
you see Verlander's slider he threw to Otani, where Otani gave halfway swing, and then his ankles almost buckled? And if that was and one, somebody would have ran out on a court with a microphone and went, the professor, and they would have yelled and pointed at Otani, and the whole crowd, like the whole stadium, except he was at home, would have just bolted out on him and like, Verlander didn't have his best stuff, big good stuff. He, you know, what he kept pumping up there, 95 and 96 high fastballs that they were not doing anything with.
Is he more like the professor or more like Clemens?
No, he's Clemens.
You think? I think he. But
Maddox couldn't get it past 91.
No, I'm not saying that. But the way how he outthinks you.
Well, I think he's Smoltzy too. I think he's got a lot of John Smoltz fastball slider.
I think he's more dominant than Smoltz.
Well, yeah. I mean, Smoltz is a Hall of Famer.
I'm talking about dominance, though. I mean, I'm going to put Maddox and Clemens in a different neighborhood.
I feel like yes, but we've got a very, you know, we weren't really locked in with Verlander for years and years. It's been more recent.
Rank all-time Astros pitchers. Who would you want? All-time Astros pitchers.
So it doesn't matter how long they pitch for you?
Who's the best that's ever pitched for the Astros? It's got to be Clemens.
Nolan Ryan.
It's got to be Clemens. To me.
He's got a zillion no-hitters.
Yeah, but no-hitters, you know that's...
I know.
Yeah.
It shows you
his ERA and everything else, but, you know. And, oh, by the way, Verlander's having a hard time to win here, and so did Clemens. Clemens, they didn't score any runs for Clemens.
Yeah, you're probably right. Smoltz only had 121 season. I remember Smoltz being just great. His ERA career was 3.33. Well, let me just...
No, I'm putting Verlander in a different neighborhood.
You're probably right. You're probably right on that one.
Yeah,
I would say Verlander's more. Well, I mean, if you're going to do it like that, then yeah, you have to go Roger.
Yeah, but you look at Maddox's wins, and you know,
well, I'm just trying to.
That's a
okay. Well, Verlander has a higher ERA, 3.40. He also has only 121 season two. His numbers are not that dissimilar to John Smoltz, frankly. His strikeouts per win, they're actually way more similar than I realized. Way more similar than I realized.
See, this iteration of Verlander is more Clemens to me. And obviously, we didn't watch him that closely his entire career, but he is dominant like Clemens. He is dominant like Maddox here and now. Here and now. Well, when Randy Johnson came over, Randy Johnson in Seattle at the end, I mean, whether or not he just wanted out or he had back issues or what out. Yeah, he wanted out. So he was a different guy. Verlander was not the guy in Detroit that we're watching right now.
Verlander was a better strikeout pitcher than Smoltzy. I think their approach is similar. I think their mental toughness is similar. The results have been very similar. Smoltz was always probably a number 1-2. Verlander's a clear number one. I mean, Smoltz would be a number one on a lot of staffs. He's a number two on some staffs. Verlander's a number one.
Yeah, on most any staff.
Mostly wherever he's going. He's played with some good teams. I mean,
yep.
He was with the Detroit team that was really good. And he's also played with some Dookie Detroit teams also.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I tell you what, I don't know. I mean, this guy's pitching his best baseball literally ever right now.
Right now.
He's got a 105 ERA.
Right now he's more Clemens than...
He's got 30. He's almost 2-1 innings pitched to hits. That's
what is it? Is he 1.05 right now?
He's 1.05, and this is in 10 appearances. He's got 68 2/3 innings pitched, and this is if it counts. Yeah, this counted last night, I think.
Right.
And he's given up 35 hits. That's it.
Yeah, Chris says J.R. Richard. If you're going to rank it's going to be Clemens.
Hard.
The top, the rotation.
How do you
J.R. Richard, Roger Clemens.
Wait. How are you? You got to define Nolan what you Ryan, mean by great.
The greatest pitchers ever. All right, Dell, we're taking a break. Good Lord, you're like a nag. This is Dell's fault that we have to take a break. This is all on Dell. Sick of him.
Frankly, it's on Kenyon Martin.
Yeah, his fault you haven't recovered from 7:20.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So we're just trying to recover right now from Kenyon Martin right here on ESPN 97.5. I want to talk right now. You know what I'm recovering from? Coors Lights. But I don't have a hangover, Lance.
Reach on, brother.
I think I told you
how
already.
How come? What happened? Do you have new enzymes?
Actually, I just had a couple, but you have a couple cold Coors Lights, and it's a great day.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Cold, crisp, clean, refreshing.
Oh, I thought we were doing Thrive here.
I am doing a live here. It's called Coors Light.
I thought we were doing a Thrive.
Oh, no.
That's why I went to the enzymes.
No. What we're doing now is how did we get to Thrive? Okay. Maybe we did it in reverse order, but this is what we're doing. Here's what we do. How about just 102 calories and 5 carbs, okay, that for your lifestyle that you want to stay, lean and mean? I'm telling you, Coors Light's the way to go. You might like, well, look, there's one fewer calorie over here. Okay. But then you got to drink that swill. What I'm talking about is Coors Light, cold, clean, fresh. I love it. And you will too. Have you tried a Coors Light? If you're drinking the other stuff, man, I don't know what's wrong with you. I really can't tell you. What I need you to do is try a cold. It's lagered. It's packed cold. It is delivered cold. It's cold. You can tell from the Blue Mountains. Just go to just get on the train, brother. Climb on, brother, at Coors Light. Coors Light. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi. 8:34. We're almost caught up on break, so we appreciate your patience. We got a little bit behind, and we'll... If you didn't hear the Kenyon Martin thing, we had Kenyon Martin on earlier. I asked him about the Chris Paul stuff, and he kind of just blah, 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 blah. Can't imagine that the two of them are friends, not after what Kenyon Martin said about him. We'll play him, try and get him in here. But we got to get some calls in here. Devin is waited. Oh, no, excuse me. Oscar's been waiting the longest. Let's get him in here. Hey, Oscar.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
What do you say?
How y'all doing? Good morning.
Good.
Hey, no, I wanted to talk a little bit. There was a caller a while ago talking about, if he thinks game three is going to be more of a dogfight, a little bit more equal. And, I've been telling the people I know since the beginning of this series, I am a homer, so I try not to be. But, I feel like the Rockets are, obviously deeper when it comes to putting the ball in the basket. Once you get past those big three of Golden State, maybe get, 20 points max, if you're talking about Nick Young, Andre Iguodala, Draymond Green, on a good night, right? And if you just down the list and you're talking about 25 from each of the big three, and then you get, 15 to 20 from Draymond, that's about it. They're pretty much maxed out. There ain't enough shots to go around on that team. I feel like with our squad, we go a little bit deeper than that. We can bring in Gerald Green. We can bring in Ryan Anderson. These guys can put it in the basket. If these guys just have average games across the board, we should beat them. I know home court advantage and all that stuff matters, but I feel like we have more guys that can put the ball in the basket. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
I agree with that. Look at the number of guys that were in double digits last night. I mean, you don't see that in an NBA playoff game, especially against.
But they have more elite scorers.
No.
They have three elite scorers.
They do. Yeah. But the Rockets are deeper with their score with the potential to score.
That's what we talked about. The bench is better there. It's a deeper one through eight.
It's a deeper bench. Garrett Gordon has plenty of 20-point games.
Everyone wants,
I don't know why Eric Gordon is not going to have another big game. I mean, Eric Gordon can easily score 25 in another or two of these games.
If you're playing the other side, you'd say he has one per seriesly so far.
He has one. Yeah. He has one what?
For whatever reason, he's had one great month, one good month, and four terrible months.
No, but his career-wise, we know
but that. But as far as recent in this playoffs, he's had, you can pick, okay, that's the good game for Eric Gordon.
Game three was his game in Utah. Remember when Eric Gordon was hitting all out of nowhere in game three in Utah?
And it was out of nowhere because he had struggled up to that point.
Uh-huh. And right, and then he had last night.
Yeah, so if you're looking at Eric Gordon, do we expect it? Yeah, he's capable. But we just haven't seen the consistency. Yeah.
Some of that's mental. You got to get them started.
Yeah, right.
And that's
exactly.
James, I mean, they got to get them started.
And early on, get them engaged, get them shots. Now, it doesn't take long. It was like 4 or 5 minutes into the game, and Eric and he put Tucker on the bench, and he put Eric Gordon in the game. And I thought, well, that's a Eric Gordon trained Tucker for Eric Gordon defensively. What's that going to do? But get him involved early. And get him shots, get him open looks early. He might knock him down, as we've seen this year. But when he is focused and he is hitting them, man, that's a huge, huge advantage for the Rockets.
I'm just looking at his numbers throughout. Now he hasn't been a good shooter at least through the first two rounds. I'm just looking at him. He shot 30% against the T-Wolves. Did find a way to get his points. Averaged 13.6 in that series. 12.2 in the next series, but only shot 33% from. Actually, I'm looking at 34% in game in the T-Wolves series. Just 34% really again in the conference semifinals against Utah. So the consistency hasn't been there. He's been a below average offensive player. In the series, but he has found ways to get points, particularly the last couple games. He's played pretty good. I mean, you look at even game one. I mean, we watched the turnovers, but he did put up 15. It just hasn't been this consistent flow of Eric Gordon being what he was, at least in the regular season.
But they're a much better team when Eric Gordon. Now, he's shooting 36% in the postseason from three.
Yeah,
he's only shooting 37% all overall. So, I mean, he was missing layups. He was doing all kinds of all kinds of stuff. But when Eric Gordon is hitting, I'm telling, how much better is this basketball team?
Well, particularly when his shots come from open looks. Now, he's a guy who will try to create for himself a little bit with coming off screens and stuff. But the penetration and the open looks when they're swinging the basketball, he's far more effective, as most players are, doing that. Yeah, that changes the way they play because he's another guy, as the caller mentioned, who can go get you 25 on a night. It just makes them harder to defend. It just has been a little off and on for him. It just wasn't a problem in the first two rounds. And the fact that he's put up 15 and 27 on 50% shooting so far is a nice trend for him.
This is the bottom line. We are truly in a time where everyone wants it to be super simple. They want to just latch on to whatever the easiest narrative is. And just it's way more layered than that. Everything is always more layered than that. There is not one way. Like, I could just point to, okay, if the Rockets stay aggressive, well, it's not just that. They had great shooting from role players. And then, well, yeah, but if they just get great shooting from role players. No, James Harden has to play at a certain level. Chris Paul has to play at a certain level. This has to happen for the Houston Rockets. It's more complicated. And guess what? If role players don't play well, the Rockets can still win this year. They can still win a game because of their defense. And James Harden can. They have, as you mentioned, you went and looked it up. They're 9-3 when James scores 40. They can win when James scores 40. Yeah. They got to defend. It's just that people want to just make it really easy and just boil it down to something easy. And it's not easy because there's so many moving. There's so many. It's so fluid with the flow of a game. No one's even taken into account momentum is huge, especially at Oracle. you can shoot a certain percentage. I mentioned this. Shooters not named Eric Gordon, and this was pretty shocking to me. It was shocking to you. Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker. If you took them out of the three-point equation, the Rockets were 5 of 27 and shot 18% from three. Like, they did? Yeah. There was two guys that were primarily responsible for them to even get into the 30% range. They were 38.1%, which is solid. But it's how they made their threes, when they made their threes. They made their threes in rhythm. They made their threes off of second and third passes where they had open looks. They weren't getting contested threes. They were getting open looks. P.J. Tucker was shooting open look threes in the corner because of ball movement. So that's why you can't just box score scout. You got to watch games and see how the flow of the game works. If you just work the same way, and the same thing's true, hardwood proxyism had, well, the Rockets actually had almost the exact same number of ISOs in game two than game one. But as you mentioned, that doesn't really tell the whole story.
That's not
though,
even because close it's how, to the story.
It's true that it was an ISO, but how did they operate in that ISO?
And how did
they were aggressive.
It?
They attacked. Yeah. They kicked out.
I mean, yeah. It was totally
so you can't
different.
Just look at just the stats.
You're lying to yourself if you're saying that was the same. Mike D'Antoni, you're lying to all of it. But I don't care. You can lie to us. I don't care.
Mike D'Antoni
and Mike
also.
D'Antoni saying, well, we're going to do the same thing in game two. Well, okay. I don't want him giving away any game. But did you do the same? Did you dribble down the shot clock?
Well,
no.
What if I said this? Devil's advocate.
What if I said
that they would run the same offense but would be more aggressive? Because they did that plenty of times this year where they didn't settle. They drove and penetrated and kicked out. I think Mike D'Antoni was saying, look, you guys don't realize we just didn't execute our offense. We're going to run the same offense. We're just going to – I think that's what his point was. He just should have said, we have different ways of executing. We need to execute better, which means getting into the paint. Because that's what his Steve Nash offense
did.
No,
I think he said that. And you know what? I think they all had to sit down, James, and say, James, stop doing that.
When Chris Paul probably took the bull by the horns and said, man, we're going to be more aggressive.
When James called everybody to say, you know, to tell them, hey, we're going to be, you know.
James said he said other guys needed to step up or whatever. He said, we've got to have other guys.
Yeah, well, how about you, James? Yeah. How about you not just dribble, dribble, dribble? That would be great.
James, like
550 dribbles.
James, like
in game one.
It was combined the big three, the Warriors, or whoever it was.
549.
549, yeah.
I know. James out-dribbled their big three.
You can see that in a sports map article.
Oh, you put
morning.
That stat in there as well?
Yeah, I put that.
Is it posted
I put everything
yet?
In there.
Is it done? Is the editing process done?
It was done at 7 o'clock like everybody's is. Well, almost everybody.
Really? Because I believe you said even after 7, you were still writing.
Did Fred put it out with everybody's?
Yeah. I don't remember.
Thank you. Good night. No, it's,
follow I asked Fred. A question. That's not a word.
Follow Fred. Follow Fred and you know. Okay, how about being a part of the community? About
what,
the 97.5 community?
Community? Oh,
all right?
the same community?
A team instead of a cancer.
The same. Oh, I'm a cancer? I'm a cancer. Yes. Just yesterday, we were talking about how Fred took a shot at the show.
Yeah, Fred took the shot at the
and
show.
He's
but
not
you know
a
what?
Cancer?
I was classy about it.
He's not a cancer?
You know what?
Didn't you say bleep you, Fred, on the show?
Yeah, that was classy.
No.
I didn't say the F word. I just said the letter.
John Clay Wolf's F word?
No, that's a different
Ooh,
one.
Hey.
That's an ugly
I thought
ugly
we were
one.
All having fun here, Dale.
Time to talk about good people like Jerry, all right, and Frank over at the Indoor Comfort Specialists.
Great people, I call them.
Right. But you know why? Because they fix air conditioners. That's what great people do in Boy. This country. They're the backbone of America.
It gets pretty, pretty great whenever... whenever you roll around to about May, apparently this is the hottest May in recorded history. They're pretty great people right about now.
Oh, and yeah, maybe you spit on them. But where would we be as a country without our air conditioning guys?
I'm sorry, they're saving lives right now.
Yeah. Okay, they're the American heroes. The indoor comfort specialists. Because they're coming to your home. Oh, can you imagine? Oh, what? You want to live like the 1800s with no air conditioning? Go ahead.
Well, that wouldn't be my biggest concern in the 1800s.
No, probably not.
No.
No.
Air conditioning would be lower on the list.
Oh, layers? Are you worried about having to wear layer clothing?
No.
And a hat? And
no.
A hat? Are you worried about wearing the hat?
Not that either.
Are you worried about wool suits? No.
And listen, if I was you, I just wouldn't answer the door. I'd say, who is it? And they go, oh, there's a white guy in there. Don't worry.
Oh, it's Indoor Comfort Specialist. It's Frank and Jerry. Oh, come on in.
Oh, look at you.
713-666-1101.
I'd actually be in a house. Look at you.
713-666-1101. They're not they're paying for us to tell you about air conditioning.
Oh, air conditioning.
Not layers of clothing.
No. That's all you got to do is call the Indoor Comfort Specialist, 713-666-1101, and they'll come to your home, and they will fix that air conditioner. How about the 22-point check for just $49? That's nothing to have a guy come to your home and make sure that everything is okay with your air conditioning unit or units. 713-666-1101 or 975AC.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We're still playing the name game. And all that is we'll call two names at some point during the day. And if you happen to have that name, call in, be the first caller, and you got a chance to win a prize. Today, it's a $50 gift certificate to Fresh Lawn. They're a mowing service. I actually use that service. They have a nice app that you can use, much like we do, and they'll get you set up. But a $50 gift certificate to Fresh Lawn. If you need the best lawn service, then call Fresh Lawn, 1-800-896-5320. Anyone who calls, tell them you heard about them from ESPN 975, and you'll get 10% off your first lawn service. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Unfortunately, it's not being given away right now, but like I said, listen throughout the day. You got a chance to win a $50 gift card from a pretty nice lawn service. I use them every 2 weeks because I ain't out there cutting my grass. I'm not one of the poorest, John.
You're not one of the poorest. Oh, money bags over there.
That's right.
Paying people to mow his lawn.
Hey, man, I'm a mosquito magnet. I'm not dealing with that anymore. I got bit on my legs every Saturday as a kid. Not playing that game anymore.
Hey, there's a big event today at Kirby Ice House. Brian Barrett's behind this thing. It's to raise money for ALS. There is a Pete Freights, a 33-year-old former Division I college athlete and the captain of Boston College baseball team, diagnosed with ALS. Since his diagnosis, he's battled the progression of the disease. He's made it his mission to spread awareness about this misunderstood and presently incurable disease. He is the founder of the Ice Bucket Challenge. He's helped raise over $220 million worldwide. 6 o'clock tonight, Kirby Ice House. You want to help out. They got a Jeff Bagwell baseball, signed footballs from Jimbo Fisher and Warren Moon, basketballs from Mario Elie and Elvin Hayes, a jersey from Chris Paul, a Jose Altuve jersey, a Texans helmet signed by J.J. Watt, Deshaun Watson, and Bill O'Brien. So that's all going to be at Kirby Ice House at 6 o'clock, raising money for ALS. It's an insidious disease. If you'd like to help out, get to Kirby Ice House. Great place, too. Great place. It's a lot of fun. We go there every once in a while. I went and met Donnie Faust over there, the Coors Light guy, my Coors Light guy. He is the man. And we had some Coors Lights over there. I just wanted you to know we had some Coors Lights, just so you know. All right, so that's at 6 o'clock tonight. Get on over there and help out with this fundraiser for ALS. 713-780-3776. Devin wants to get in here, talk about Harden and Curry. What do you say, Devin?
Yeah, hello. How you doing? First off, that caller before me in the last segment said something about we're deeper, and he brought up Ryan Anderson. I think they should just not even put Ryan Anderson back in the game because he's kind of useless.
Horn bummer.
But,
two guys came. And Ryan Anderson didn't get in until it was garbage time, right? I didn't miss anything, did I?
He got in game one early, but that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my point with Harden and Curry, I feel like it's not like a color, because I'm African-American myself, but I don't think it's a color thing. I think it's more like an image thing, because he's a single guy. He goes to the strip clubs and stuff like that. I feel like anytime, especially when I don't go to Houston and they bring up Harden, that's kind of like the main point. Like, oh, yeah, I know he likes the strippers and everything like that, and then anytime you hear Curry, you know, they talk about his wife, his family, you know, how he's a good guy. I think they just kind of paint Harden in like a negative image. So when people talk about him, they kind of look at it in a bad way.
Yeah. I think, how does everyone know that about James and strippers? Like, how is this a known? Is it because he was with Amber like the Amber Rose.
Well,
thing. Like,
well, why does Kardashian
everyone,
and
yeah, but she's not a stripper.
And I think it's because he hangs around like rappers and, you know, famous people like that who goes to strip clubs. So, okay, you know, on social media, they see him with a rapper and stuff like that. And, mm-hmm, oh, James going to another strip club or something like that.
I mean, we've heard all the stories. Well, we in Houston know the stories.
And,
but
it's more than that. It's basketball, too. We've seen Elimination James, and we've seen Steph Curry step up and win championships.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I think we've also seen Steph, you know, kind of disappear. And, mm-hmm, like, when they had the best record, and then they played when they played Cleveland for that first championship, or when they was going for their second. And he kind of disappeared, and then they lost that one. But I kind of think they swept it under the rug once they picked up KD, and then, like, people kind of forget he wasn't just, like, lights out when they lost it.
No, you're right, but somebody posed the question the other night, who is the face of this dynasty by Golden State? And the answer is Steph, because KD didn't get to the party till late. They had one before he got there. He's only got one. If they add a few more, KD's probably going to, because he has taken over as the alpha dog on the team. But Steph is the face of this Golden State team for whatever reason. I mean, but I think it was Steph, you know, in his MVP season that really, and how electric he was, and how the quick shot and everything else, and you just shake your head at some of the shots that he hit and everything else, and you just went, wow, this is something special. And Steph was the start of that. Now, I don't know, Devin, that your narrative with about Cleveland, I'm not sure anybody was putting the blame all on Steph, but James has taken the blame squarely for when the Rockets fail.
Steph wasn't good in that.
No, he wasn't good, but I don't think that's the narrative, though.
No.
I think it's just, oh, look at what Cleveland and LeBron and Kyrie did.
But he's also won.
Because he won.
Yeah, he's won before.
Because he won.
Yeah, I feel that. I understand. It's just like, I feel like when he does something bad, they'll like put it on like his injury, or they'll just be like, or they'll say it's something because of his limitations. With James, they always just bring up like, it's always like a negative thing. It's
it not is
like,
true.
Oh, at least he tried or something like that. It's like, right. Oh, so when he scored 40, like, I think the main, like, people kind of like show, I mean, I think that's the main narrative. Even though he had a good game, they were just like, oh, he's being too selfish or something like that. I feel like if Steph would have did the same thing, and they would have been like, oh, well, I mean, he did all he could. I don't think, like, with Harden, nobody says that.
If you're honest with yourself, you're 100% right. If people are honest with themselves, they recognize that even when James is going to win an MVP this year, even when he wins an MVP, it's not going to matter. The idea, because it's been easy in the past, has been things are James's fault, because he's been the only guy. He's been the lone wolf, and things have fallen on him. Now it's just too easy for people to say it, and they have to, instead of thinking about it and being analytical in their you know, and breaking things down, they just say, well, this is on James, and we'll figure out how it's on James. When James plays bad, it is on him. Game one wasn't really, I don't think game one was on James necessarily. Now we could say, the ball needs to move quicker. Some of that's Mike D'Antoni's got to force that issue as the head coach. But the other thing is, what did James have to do with back cuts to the basket off the wing? Those are other guys who play defense. No, he got beat too on defense, but back cuts to the basket where Klay Thompson got layups when James wasn't guarding him, that's on whoever was, that was on that particular case I'm thinking of was PJ Tucker.
I don't think there's one thing that causes maybe undue blame to be placed on James. Some of it he brings upon himself. I don't think that his style of play is something people really like watching if you're not mm-hmm. a Rocket fan. There are multiple things.
Right. Yeah.
It's not just one.
Multiple.
Thing.
But Steph won't. He doesn't take the same heat. When he doesn't defend, you don't hear the same thing.
No,
like,
no.
This guy's lazy. He doesn't play defense.
858 ESPN 97.5. It's Raheel. We'll bring Raheel and 94.1 into the fray, like I like to say, right here on ESPN 97.5.
I don't really care what you say.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.